This is Missouri Appellate Opinions, presented by Ott Law Firm, a St. Louis area plaintiff's litigation firm. Today's case, Jeremy Jarvis, appellant v. Treasurer of the State of Missouri, custodian of the Second Injury Fund, respondent, decided May 27, 2025 by the Missouri Court of Appeals, Eastern District. Jeremy Jarvis, no, ED113075, appellant, appeal from Labor and Industrial, Relations Commission, FADES, injury, number 15-0098439, Treasurer of the State of Missouri, Custodian of the Second Injury Fund, Respondent, filed May 27, 2025. Jeremy Jarvis appeals the Labor and Industrial Relations Commission's decision denying his claim against the Treasurer of Missouri as Custodian of the Second Injury Fund, the fund. The commission determined that Jarvis failed to prove that each of his relevant pre-existing disabilities met the 50-week permanent partial disability threshold as required pursuant to Parav 287 Dowson 2 Gene 20.3 RSMO Sup 2014. 1. Jarvis challenges the commission's determination, arguing that all relevant pre-existing disabilities were statutorily qualified disabilities and that the commission's decision was not supported by substantial and competent evidence. Because the commission did not err in its application of the law, and its decision was supported by substantial and competent evidence, the commission's decision is affirmed. 1. All statutory references herein are to RSMO Sup, 2014. 2. Background: Jarvis worked as an iron worker and was injured multiple times during his employment. In 2001, Jarvis sustained injuries to his right ankle and both arms while working. Jarvis filed a workers' compensation claim against his employer and settled his claim for his right elbow for 57.75 weeks disability, his left wrist for 43.75 weeks disability, and his right leg for 46.5 weeks disability. This award was subject to a 10% loading factor and 21 weeks of disfigurement. 2. In 2011, Jarvis settled another workers' compensation claim for a work-related injury for 20% of his right wrist. After all of these injuries, Jarvis continued working and participating in non-work activities, including martial arts, skateboarding, weightlifting, and playing in a softball league. In 2015, Jarvis was working at a job site when an iron beam hit him in the back of his legs. Jarvis filed a workers' compensation claim against his employer and entered into a compromise settlement. His employer paid him permanent partial disability benefits on both legs and a 10% multiplicity factor on all body parts. The compromise settlement left open the fund's liability. Dr. David Volerich performed an independent medical examination of Jarvis. In his report, Dr. Volerich provided permanent partial disability ratings for Jarvis's 2015 primary injury, as well as permanent partial disability ratings for Jarvis's pre-existing disabilities. Dr. Volerich imposed restrictions on Jarvis based on his disabilities. Dr. Volerich advised Jarvis to avoid stooping, squatting, crawling, kneeling, pivoting, climbing, and impact maneuvers. Dr. Volerich advised Jarvis to avoid navigating uneven terrain and to handle less than 20 pounds of weight. 2. Jarvis does not argue that this loading factor should enhance any of his pre-existing disabilities beyond the settlement value. As a result, the issues presented in Eckhart v. Treasurer of Missouri, number SC-10784, 2025, WL 1239814, Moich Bonk, Apprend 29, 2025, are not at issue here. 3. Further, Jarvis was instructed to limit prolonged weight bearing to 15 to 20 minutes, as he was able to tolerate. Dr. Volerich also directed Jarvis to engage in appropriate strengthening, stretching, and non-impact exercise. Dr. Volerich had no issue with Jarvis returning to work, but recommended Jarvis undergo a vocational assessment to determine whether he was permanently and totally disabled. Dr. Volerich reiterated these opinions in his deposition. However, in an addendum to his independent medical examination report in April 2023, Dr. Volerich responded to additional questions, wherein he clarified that Jarvis would only be permanently and totally disabled with the inclusion of his 2001 pre-existing disabilities. As recommended by Dr. Volerich, Jarvis met with Timothy Locke, who performed a vocational assessment. Locke testified that Jarvis stated he needed to elevate his leg for symptom relief. Locke stated he would defer to a medical doctor whether Jarvis needed to elevate his leg as a result of his primary injury. Locke agreed that, hypothetically, if the need to elevate his leg was a result of the 2015 injury alone, then Jarvis's 2015 injury alone is enough to render him unemployable. After submission of the entire record, the administrative law judge determined there were three PL